Come here, children. Your mama's busy, and I could use your help. The grain needs to be ground before I can start making the bread for tonight. And while you're working, I'll tell you a story. You know what? I'm going to tell you about your grandpa, Caleb. He's a great storyteller, but he doesn't like to talk about himself. I think it's really important that you know your family's history. I was a teenager when Caleb and I got married. We were still living in Egypt at the time. And shortly after that, God sent the plagues on Egypt. And then Moses took us across the Red Sea. For 2 years, we were in the desert. And then finally, we made it to the edge of the Promised Land. We were at a town called Kadesh Barnea at the southern border of Canaan. We were all so excited that we were finally there. But no one had ever been in the land. We knew that God promised a land flowing with milk and honey, but we really didn't know anything else about it. So God told Moses to choose 12 men, one from each tribe, to go and explore the land. One of those men was your grandpa Caleb. And Moses told them to go and see, is the land good or bad? Is it fertile soil or poor soil? Are there trees there? And bring back some of the produce if you can. He also asked them to see, are the people weak or are they strong? Are there few or many? And are there cities unwalled or are they heavily fortified? So the men set off to explore the land. And while we were waiting, we were so excited and watching for them to come. It took 40 days for them to come back. And when they did, what a sight it was. They came back carrying the biggest cluster of grapes you have ever seen. They had to have it on a pole between two men. It was so huge. And they also brought back pomegranates and figs. Well, we all gathered around. We wanted to see what they brought and hear what they had to say. And they said, the land does flow with milk and honey, but the people there are powerful. They live in fortified cities, and they're the descendants of Anak, the giants. Then Grandpa Caleb got up, and he silenced all the people. And he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. However, the 10 men who explored the land spread bad reports throughout the whole camp of Israel. They told everyone, we can't attack the people. They are stronger than us. The land devours those who live in it. All the people of are of great size. They are giants. We seemed like grasshoppers next to them. Now, they were exaggerating. Not all of the people were giants, but there really were giants. And those giants were more than twice as tall as most Israelite men. Well, that night in camp was a terrible night. The people wept out loud, and they grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They even wanted to choose a new leader who would take them back to Egypt. Can you imagine that? Moses and Aaron fell down on their faces before all the people. And Joshua and Caleb were so distraught that they tore their robes. And they went and they told the people, the land is very good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land. He will give us the land. Do not rebel against God and do not be afraid of the people. We will swallow them up. They have no protection because God is with us. Well, it got so bad that the people were ready to stone Joshua and Caleb to death. Then the glorious shining light of God's presence appeared at the tent of meeting. And Moses went there to plead to the Lord not to destroy the people for rebelling against God. The Lord decided not to destroy the nation, but he did punish them. The 10 men who spread the bad reports, they died of a plague. And all the rest of the people had to go back in the desert. And we had to stay in the desert for for 38 more years. During that time, all of the men, except for Caleb and Joshua, would die in the desert. But that day, God made a promise to your grandpa Caleb. He said that because Caleb followed him wholeheartedly, God would bring Caleb back to the land that he explored and give it to him and his children as an inheritance. Moses had those words written down in the book of Numbers. And do you know what land Grandpa Caleb and the others explored? Right here where we're living now. It was Hebron and all the land around it. Hebron was the fortified city with giants that scared those other men so much. And it was the exact land that God promised to Caleb. Caleb saw the same walls. He saw the same giants. But he also saw God, the one who parted the Red Sea, the one who gave us manna, the one who can do the impossible. You can learn a lesson from your grandpa Caleb. It doesn't matter if everyone turns against you. It doesn't matter if your friends are trying to talk you into doing something that you know is wrong. The only thing that matters is that you trust in him, no matter how bad things appear. Well, it was hard to wander in the desert for 38 years. And in fact, at one point, I was really discouraged. And I went to Caleb and I said, you know, it doesn't seem fair that you have to wander in the desert when you obeyed God wholeheartedly and you tried so hard to convince everyone else to trust God. Well, first thing he told me is to watch how I talk, because you don't want to try to accuse God of doing something wrong. And then he explained, he said, the land is very good, but the people who are living there are extremely wicked. The things they do in the name of worshiping their God are just unspeakable. If God had given you and I and our family that land then, it would not have been a blessing. We would have been the only people in the entire land who loved God. And who knows what would have happened to us? Think about Lot. He chose the best land, but also in doing so, he chose to live among the wicked people of Sodom. And that ended in disaster. And also think about this. While we're wandering in the desert, we have the very presence of God with us. He's in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, and he comes to speak directly to Moses at the tent of meeting. No, this is better, to be in the presence of God than to live where the wicked people are. We can wait until God gives us the land that he promised. And of course, Caleb was right. God's timing is always the best. When he makes a promise, it may take a long time till we see it happen, but it will always happen. He keeps his promises. And we've been waiting for one promise of God for a long time. He promised us the Savior, and we're still waiting. But no matter how long it takes, you can be sure that it will happen just as he promised. Well, after 38 years in the desert, we finally crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. But you know what? We didn't get our inheritance yet. It took 7 years before Israel defeated all the kings in Canaan with the help of God. During this time, God made the walls of Jericho fall down, and he helped us defeat Ai and Bethel. And that made the other kings in the nation so afraid of us that five kings from the area that's now Judah decided that they were going to come and attack. When they did, God threw the enemies into confusion, and the army of Israel was able to defeat them. And as they retreated, God himself threw down huge hailstones that killed more people than the army of Israel did. They captured the five kings and killed them, and then they started going to each of the cities of the kings and capturing them. And one of those cities was Hebron, city that God had promised to your grandpa. And when Caleb got there and saw it, he was so happy to see the land that God promised. But then he realized that none of the other men knew about the promise. They were children or not even born when that had happened. There was only one man still alive who had heard God's promise, and that was Joshua. So Caleb and the leaders of Judah went to Gilgal to talk to Joshua. Caleb reminded Joshua that when he was 40 years old, he and Joshua scouted out the land and brought back a good report to the people. Caleb said, "I follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly. On that day, Moses swore to me that the land on which my feet walked will be my inheritance and that of my children forever, because I follow the Lord wholeheartedly." Now, some people might think that your grandpa was boasting that he followed God wholeheartedly, but he wasn't boasting. He was just repeating the exact words that God had spoken to him and that Moses had written down. Caleb went on to say, "Just as God promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years while I moved about the desert. And here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm still as strong as the day that Moses sent me into the land. I'm just as vigorous to go to battle as I was then. And now give me the hill country that God promised to me. You heard yourself that the Anakites, the giants, are living there, and the cities were fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as God said." Caleb wanted to make sure that everyone knew that Hebron was the land that God had promised to him. And he also wanted to be involved in conquering it. He had no doubt whatsoever that God would help him to succeed and that he would be able to drive out the giants. And there were still three giants living there. But he knew that God had promised him the land, and it was going to be God doing the conquering. So Joshua blessed Caleb, and he gave the land of Hebron to him. By the time that the kings of Canaan had been defeated and most of the land conquered, Joshua was very old. And God came to him and said, "It's now time to divide up the land of Israel." Now there was still land along the great West Sea and the northern borders that had not been conquered. But God said that didn't matter. Even that was to be divided up by Joshua among the people, because God was giving that as an inheritance, and God would be the one to help drive out those people. Do you realize that Israel is the only nation that received an inheritance from God? An inheritance is not earned. A father gives it to his children to provide for them simply because they're his children. Everything belongs to God, and he chose us to give us this land because he chose us as his children. Now, before Moses died, he had given land on the east side of the Jordan River to Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh. He had also written instructions in the book of Numbers as to how the rest of the land was to be divided. He said that Joshua and Eleazar the high priest were to oversee the assignment of the land. But Moses also named 10 leaders, one elder from each of the tribes, to help. And Caleb was the one who was chosen to help assign the land of Judah. Eleazar was in charge of seeking God's will by casting lots to see who would get each parcel of land. And no one complained that Caleb's land was not part of that, because Joshua had already given it to him, just as God promised. Caleb had to help divide the land into parcels before Eleazar could cast lots. The land had to be divided by clans and then by families. The 76,000 men of Judah came from four different clans. So that was pretty easy to divide up the land into four pieces. But it also had to be divided by families. And Caleb worked really hard to be fair about the number of cities that would be in each portion. And he had to think about resources. Did all of them have water? Was there good land for crops? Was there enough grazing land for the sheep? And how much of that land was still occupied by some of the people living here? It was a big job, but God gave him the wisdom he needed to do it well. You can learn another lesson from your grandpa here. God gave Caleb the strength he needed to drive out the giants, and he gave him the wisdom he needed to divide up the land. When you are faced with big tasks, remember that if you look to God for help, he will give you exactly what you need to do the things that he's given you to do. Speaking of tasks, I need to start making the bread. How are you doing with the flour? Oh, great. You're doing a great job. You can put it in the bowl here. And I didn't get a chance to tell you about how your grandpa and your uncles drove out the giants and the other people living in this land, or how Eleazar the high priest and the family of Aaron came to live here with us in Hebron. We'll have to do that another time. Help me remember. Oh, look, here comes your grandpa Caleb now. Why don't you all run along and go greet him, and I'll start working on the bread. As we heard from Caleb's wife, the children of Israel knew that God promised to send an anointed one, a savior who would counteract the curses that resulted from sin. They didn't know much about him. They knew he would strike the head of the serpent, Satan. He would be a blessing to all nations. He would come from the tribe of Judah, and he would be greater than Moses. They had been waiting since the time of Adam and Eve, but they had no idea that they were going to have to wait at least 1,200 years more before God fulfilled that promise. Other information about the promised one came through the prophets during those years. David saw him as a descendant taking his throne. Isaiah saw a suffering servant who would be punished for the sake of others. Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem, and Zechariah said that he would remove the sin of the world in a single day. These and all other prophecies about the promised one were fulfilled by the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Just as Moses delivered the Israelites out of the slavery of Egypt, Jesus, the better Moses, delivered us from the slavery of sin. This was accomplished by his sacrifice on the cross, his victory over sin and death. And because of this, Galatians 4:4 says, "You are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir." That means believers have an inheritance from God, our Father. Hebrews 9:15 goes on to say that Christ is a mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. So not only is this new covenant better than the one that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, our inheritance is better than the land that was promised to Israel. Our inheritance is eternal. Peter describes this inheritance as one that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us. And this inheritance is not just promised, it's guaranteed. In Ephesians, it says, "Having believed, you were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance." So, what is our inheritance that we're receiving through Jesus Christ? Well, let me read you Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4 and 7. It says, that, this is John speaking, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who overcomes will inherit this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. That's what we have looked forward to. That's our promised land. And in the chapter following this, Jesus tells John twice, "Behold, I will be coming soon." Now, this was said 2,000 years ago. From our perspective, it's been a long time. However, this promise is as sure as the promise of the land was to the Israelites, and it will come at the perfect time. May our response be the same as John's. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.